And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is things aren't always what they seem. My guests are talking about how things are different than we imagine them. My next guest is a financial guru who recapped the second quarter of 2011 in the financial markets for us. We'll look ahead to the second half of the year to see what's in store for us financially. And if you want to call in and ask questions, you can always call us at 639-0008. My regular listeners know Ken Winans for his insightful and profitable financial advice. Ken Winans is the successful investment manager, entrepreneur, and award-winning author. He is the president of Winans International, an investment company up north in the San Francisco Bay Area. In 2009, he became the senior portfolio manager for the Winans Long Short Fund, ticker symbol ETFMX. He has his bachelor's degree in business economics from the University of San Diego, his master's in finance from the University of San Francisco. Joining us from the San Francisco Bay Area. Hi, Ken. How are you today?
Hey, Bill. I'm doing well. And listen, I got a question for you.
What's that?
Did you by chance shorten your name from Franken?
No, I never shortened my name from Franken. It's always been Franken. So,
just want to make sure you're not running away from a certain senator out of the Midwest.
Absolutely okay. No relation to me. And really, just so that you know, I want to set the record straight. I'm also no relation to Barney Frank out of the East Coast. So I want to make that perfectly clear.
So, hey, listen, you know, you get your fun, so the rest of us have to take our shot. At the very few shots there are at you, my friend.
Oh, well, appreciate it. It's actually a very exciting day. Stock market is up. Second quarter, though, however, was kind of bad for stocks overall. All the major indices are down roughly about 1.4% for the quarter. Bonds outperformed stock in the last quarter. So
absolutely. And so did preferred stocks.
Yeah.
I mean, anything that was an income investment really did a very positive showing through this volatility. And, you know, isn't it funny? Because you and I were having these chats last year. It was literally the same stuff. It was about real estate and Greece and everything else going on around the world. It just seems like these things keep recycling themselves.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because if you look at history, exactly a year ago, we were worried about the Greek debt crisis. The housing market was moribund. The only thing that was probably different was that bonds weren't in as good a shape as they were in, and oil prices weren't as high as they are today. Maybe those are the two differences. But other than that, it has really been a shame. Well, let's take a look at some of the asset classes. First of all, the Dow Jones started the year at 11,600, got up to about 12,300. 91, almost 12,400 at the end of the first quarter. And now, depending on how it does today, it'll probably settle out somewhere around 12,100. So it's ahead for the year, but not as good as we were at the second quarter. S&P, you have the same picture there. It started out at 1257. Depending on how it settles today, it'll be over 1300, which is good, but not as high as 1325 at the end of March. NASDAQ, same story. The only thing of note, I think, among all of them is if you look at commodities. Commodities are probably the most interesting. Oil was at 94.87 at January 1st. Mm-hmm. It jumped up to 107.94, almost $108, and now it's back down around $95. So it's roughly in the same place that it was at the beginning of the year. Gold, however, has skyrocketed, and the value of the dollar keeps dropping. So what picture is this painting for us financially, Ken? Because it's a real mixed bag to me.
Well, here's a couple of things. You know, and it's interesting, because if you ask people at the very beginning of the year where they were going to be allocating their money, there was talk about, well, if I better get it offshore because America's going to go off a cliff. You had the situation where silver was blasting off. And
yes.
Boy, people, you know, and I had battles with people constantly that don't forget that gold, silver, oil, these are commodities. You buy them and you plan to sell them. They're not stocks for the long term. And then, you know, it's interesting, of everything we've been tracking, I mean, everybody seems to forget that from its high, silver is now down 30%. From its high in April. So you have a situation where within the commodity world there's been good, bad, and there's been some serious ugly. But isn't it interesting to note, and I'm looking at the GLD, which is the ETF for gold.
Right.
It is basically just barely ahead of the S&P 500. And I'm not including dividends on the S&P. So it is where people were shifting their money around. I mean, the foreign ETFs have been, at least the way I view it, pretty much a dud this year. You know, the ETF that is the commodity basket that I track, a symbol DBC, it's up about 5% for the year. And a lot of it is largely because dollar has been going up and down and tracking pretty much the geopolitical situation. But yet, you look at gosh, small cap stocks are up 6%. U.S. small cap stocks, U.S. mid cap stocks, believe it or not, are up 8% year to date. These are not bad numbers.
No, they're not. But I want to pull back the curtain on some of those numbers because you'd mentioned before where people are allocating their money. The reality seems to be a lot of money is still on the sidelines, particularly this month. But I think it holds for the whole quarter. If you look at the number of shares traded day by day, that number is historically low. It's typically well beneath a billion shares for the Dow on a day-to-day basis, which is low by comparison. So comment on that. It seems to me that a lot of money still sitting on the sidelines doesn't know what to do with itself.
Well, money is shifting. There's no doubt about that, Bill. And I would add that money doesn't sit on the sideline at 0.2% for very long. And a lot of it, I mean, I have people walk into my office all the time, and they are the baby boom generation that is getting older. They're trying to eye retirement. Their houses have been losing value. They've gone through 250% corrections in the U.S. stock market. And they're moving their money into corporate bonds, basically income-based investments. The other big shift of money has been out of municipal bonds. I mean, I am amazed to continuously hear people who have been longstanding stalwarts of buying municipal bonds are saying, I'm just scared right now. I don't know if that school district's going to be around or that county's going to be around. I am getting my money at least better diversified out of these areas that I just don't trust.
And I think that's probably a good strategy. Well, let's talk about the big economic news that happens to be coincides with our report today, and that is quantitative easing 2 ends today. Mm-hmm. That ends the $7 billion government meddling in the financial markets. So how will the markets react to the end of QE2? Because if you look at today, we're up over 100 points at mm-hmm. this point in time. That would mean over the last 3 or 4 days, we're up 400 points. What picture is that painting?
Well, it tells you that the sell-off that was happening through a good part of May and June maybe was a bit oversold because it was selling off on the Greek news. I mean, hey, listen, who's not somewhat concerned when you see the tear gas canisters flying around Athens? I mean, it does make you think about, gosh, maybe I have too much exposure. And there were clearly people taking money and putting on the sidelines. But I think much more than QE2, Bill, what people are looking at is, hey, are maybe some of these companies going to be okay? What seemed to trigger this rally was Nike. I mean, when Nike posted basically a very, very good quarterly report, all the things that people assumed would affect a company like Nike, I mean, here you're dealing with a global manufacturer who has to do with commodity prices and sagging commercial interest in its products. Hey, all of a sudden it posts a good number, and the stock, no questions up, is up 6% in a day. I think people are thinking that, hey, maybe there's going to be more surprises like Nike, although I've certainly been telling the people I talk to, this is not a bull market. Repeat, not a bull market. You're going to see some stocks and some other investments that do very well in this environment, but you're going to see a lot of others that just simply miss the mark, and they're going to get hit hard.
Well, without a doubt. And I think if we look back to the recap that we did at the top of the show, it's been a flat market. This is a sideways market. There's no doubt about it. My guest is Ken Winans, CEO of Winans International. Ken, it's report card time. We've just spent $700 billion of our combined money for QE2. Good thing or bad thing? How would you rate it on a scale of A to F?
Well, I'd have to put it, to try to be nice, I'm going to put it at about a C to C minus. Here's the problem. I am of the camp that I would rather them just rip the Band-Aid off at this point in time. I think this thing of trying to, buy time to hopefully get some traction in the housing market, it is not working. I mean, clearly that little multi-billion-dollar boondoggle we did with mortgages last year around this time didn't work well. I mean, a lot of the QE2, everybody's forgetting, they've been buying a lot of Fannie and Freddie stuff.
Right.
And I just, the idea that the Federal Reserve is actively buying mortgages that might be questionable, that is just not a good use of the, and quite frankly, is not the mandate of the Fed. The Fed's job is not to subsidize the housing market, and I have a problem with that. But with that being said, I think we have to be aware that at some point in time, as we saw with the Treasury auctions earlier this week, demand is waning, which means rates are going to have to go up. So I think the Fed has got a tough decision. They're going to have to either stay truer to their message and show more fiscal discipline, or we are going to have rates go up as they continue to try to subsidize this stuff. But the elephant in the room is real estate, continues to be real estate. And at this point, I am personally in favor of basically telling Fannie and Freddie, look, we do not want you to grow your portfolios anymore. Let housing work itself out. let the cards fall as they may.
Well, now, historically, there's a there is a precedent for that, too, Ken. If you look at the savings loan debacle of the 1980s, those of us that are old enough to remember that, that's, in fact, what they had happen. They created the Resolution Trust Corporation. Mm-hmm. All of the bad assets went into the Resolution Trust, and the world carried on. Why can't we do the same thing today with the banks and with the real estate?
I agree with you. I think, you know, it's interesting how the stock market actually has more brains than our government does right now. And just the simple fact that why are shares of the leading money center banks all basically down year to date? I mean, look at some of these numbers. I mean, basically, Wells Fargo's down 9%, J.P. Morgan's down 4%, Bank America is down 18%. I mean, the markets are not stupid. They're telling you, look, we just don't believe that the real estate problems have passed and the banks have got more places to go. But you know what? We can't do any more bailouts. I do not think we can afford to do any more. It sends out a bad message to the world, and the world's beginning to look at us cross-eyed about what are you people doing? So you asked me to grade it. I'm just not in favor of these things, and I don't see, according to the cost-benefit analysis of the number of jobs that incidentally were produced during this time, I don't necessarily think it was tied to QE2. The number I saw was that it was something like each job cost us over $200,000 when the average salary was $40,000.
Well, here's
that just doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't. Just give me $200,000 and I'll go off the dole. No problem about that.
Bill, isn't it funny you say that? Because that's exactly what a lot of people are saying. It would be cheaper to have these people go on welfare. It would be cheaper to do that.
Yeah, it would. All right. Now, my guest is Ken Winans. Ken, you said that the markets are not stupid, and I would agree with that over the long term. But here's a head scratcher for you. I think that you and I would both agree that government interference in a market is a bad thing. So here's Obamacare. It was passed. The rules are still being written, so we really don't even know what we're playing with right now. But you would think that managed care business stock prices would suffer as a result of this. But that's not the case. If you look at Aetna, Cigna, United Healthcare, they're all up in QE2, and they're also up for the year. Yep. What is that telling us? Because these are the companies that are most directly affected by Obamacare.
Well, and I'll add to that, take a look at even a lot of the pharmaceuticals who are directly in the crosshairs of Obamacare and any other kind of medicine, and they're all performing very well. What it tells me is that we have probably the mother of unfunded mandates coming down, which is I think you and I will probably be very old men by the time they ever fully enact Obamacare. We cannot afford it. We cannot. It's like the state of California that constantly passes rules and regulations. The number of, and we call them unfunded mandates, that we don't have the money to implement this stuff. So I think it's going to go down that path. Now, do I think it's going to be repealed? No. And actually, I would like to have our friends in Washington, that's fine to be concerned about it, but you guys need to focus on the economy. Come back and deal with that later. To have that be your primary objective is going to cost you in a couple of years. So there's one issue. But with that being said, it's the same thing when you talk about them trying to step into the mortgage market. It's the same thing talking about healthcare. It's the same thing with what do we do if we're going to begin to wind down these military campaigns, what are we going to do about do we need to start rebuilding our military again? The government needs to take seriously that it's beginning to hit a limit on what it can afford to spend, and other countries are tired of funding it. So I think it's going to be an underfunded mandate for a long time to come.
Yeah, that could be. My guest is Ken Winans. He's the CEO of Winans International. He's also this show's financial advisor. Ken, I ask you this question every time you come on, but it's always fun to go back and revisit it. It's a recurring question. Which is going to come first, Dow 9,000 or unemployment 9%?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. I think it's going to be unemployment 9% only because it's a closer standard deviation. I think you and I are going to be looking at an unusually high unemployment for years to come just because you're in a world where we just cannot produce enough jobs until we clear out the housing mess.
Mm, yeah, sad to hear.
Hey, Bill, with that being said, one other quick thing.
Sure.
You have to dig into these statistics. If you look at where most of the unemployment is coming from on the blue-collar side of the equation, it has to do with construction. So until you put the construction people back to work in all the other supporting industries that are tied to that, I think you have a similar situation that you did with steel workers back in the 70s. It's going to take time to dry up that labor force.
Hmm. My guest is Ken Winans. He's also the senior portfolio manager for the Winans Long Short Fund, ticker symbol ETFMX. Ken, how's the fund doing here at the end of the second quarter 2011?
You know, I am so proud of this. As a money manager, you like it when you can take a situation and you can, you know, because last year was very miserable, very choppy.
Yes, it was.
You had to make some adjustments in the fund. As of right now, the fund is going to end the quarter, year-to-date, up 5.5%. This is with a posted beta. According to Morningstar, our beta is 0.40, which means that we have 60% less volatility than the market.
That's remarkable.
So here, it's the best of all worlds. When you're outperforming the market and you have less volatility, that's a good thing. Now, what I've been using it for, and this is very, because I get asked all the time, look, you have this fund, you also manage money in separate portfolios. What do you do with the fund within your portfolios? I simply use it as a hedging vehicle. I know that with that fund, I can go to cash very, very quickly if things turn negative. Right now, my research is neutral, so it's about 50% invested. But it allows me to move very quickly within our portfolios.
Oh, that is great. Ken, if people are interested, they like the sound of what they hear, they want to learn more about you, learn more about the fund, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, if you're looking me up personally, go to kenwinans.com. That's W-I-N-A-N-S. And then from that website, it will take you to my books, the research I do, certainly my company's website, where the company's name is Winans International. And that would be the best place to do it. Just so W-I-N-A-N-S, and certainly if you enter my name in a search queue, it will come up.
That's great.
Take care, buddy. You're